Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We do lift you up from the abundance of our hearts and the joy in our hearts. We do praise you. We know that we stand victorious in you in all things because we are joint heirs with you in every victory that you have. We stand in your victories, and we praise you and thank you for that. But mostly, we want you to be glorified by that. As the world sees us and the world watches us living according to your word, and as the world sees your promises, those things that are impossible in the world taking place in our lives, we give you the praise and the glory, and we thank you that their lives, their hearts are turned to you. We lift you up and praise you. We look at our lives today and we say thank you for these lives. Thank you for what you've entrusted to us. Now we are your vessels. Use us to your glory. And we praise you all along the way. We thank you, Jesus. You be glorified. Jesus, we thank you and praise you for your word. Our hearts are ready today to receive your word. We want to hear from you. So we thank you, Jesus. Again, in everything, you be glorified. You be glorified, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Okay, so before I forget, my good friend Mark Magrum, tomorrow is his birthday. So we're going to pray for Mark. Also, they're not here yet. Also, Mark Dunn is not here, but his birthday is Tuesday, so we're going to pray for him as well. Anybody else have a birthday that's coming up? That they'll admit it? Anybody else? Yeah, but I can't pray for myself, so she'll pray for me. She speaks blessing over me all the time. Well, we're going to pray for Mark. And Lord, I just thank you and I praise you for these lives that you've created, and you've shared these lives with us. So we just say thank you. We thank you and praise you. We speak the fullness of your blessing, the fullness of your favor, that they walk into every good thing that they have for that you have for them in the year to come. We speak your health, your vitality, the fullness of joy and blessing. We just say thank you for them. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, if you guys have been with us the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at seeing the impossible in Jesus Christ. Seeing those things that appear to be impossible done because Jesus is faithful. He's faithful to his word, and we should expect those promises. We should expect to see the fullness of those things, and we should live our lives as tangible demonstrations of the fact that his word is true regardless of what things look like. Jack, it throws me off. You're over there. I'm totally out of balance now. I guess. You're usually some way over on this side, now you're over there. Everything's off balance now today. So if I make any mistakes along the way, it's Jack's fault, just so you guys know, because he's got me thrown off, totally off balance. So what I've endeavored to share with you over the last recent weeks is that choice that we have, the choice that is in every one of us, that choice to either believe for his promises, the choice to either walk in faith or to walk in doubt. Now, Jesus has provided everything that we need for this life. Everything that we need, Jesus has already provided. In faith, we walk in to the supernatural. In faith, we enter into the realm of the supernatural so that we can see and that we can experience those impossible things, those promises of Jesus Christ that are impossible in the natural. We can see them in our lives. And even as I say that, I challenge you to think back to the things in your life that you have seen, witnessed, and just experienced that were impossible. Think about those things. Because when you remember those things, when you remember those things that Jesus did that were impossible to you before, when you remember those things, it helps you to believe for those things that are before you now that, again, seem impossible. Don't let the crying of little ones. This is what Pastor Menke taught me. I love this. I love the fact that little ones are here in this body and in this congregation. Yes, you should applause for that because this is why. When you hear those voices, here's what Pastor Menke always said. Those are the sounds of life. That is new life in this body. And I have seen firsthand, when we set this up, I set it up so that we would have all the little ones in here with us. And I set it up that way because I firmly believe that the Word of God, even though Addison is too small to understand the things that I'm saying, the Word of God does not return void. You know, and as Addison is growing up, she is hearing the Word of God, and she's covered in the Word of God. And whether she realizes it or not, that Word is being fed into her. And I want it to be that when kids leave here, that they're not off somewhere else in another room. They are in the same room with their parents and their grandparents. So as the week goes by, they're all hearing and knowing the exact same word of Jesus Christ. So when the week goes by, they can all be talking about the same thing, and they're growing together as a family. I've already seen so many times where little ones stun me by the things that they perceive and the things that they learn. I mean, I expected it, and I'm stunned by sometimes the things that God does to the little ones. So rejoice in those noises of the little ones being amongst us. Amen? No, I forgot where I was at. Okay, so too often what happens is, because we do want to live in the supernatural and the miraculous, but too often what happens is we allow those doubts that are fostered by this world, we allow those doubts and the doubts that are our own doubts from our own past experiences to constrain us from walking into all those promises and all those blessings in Jesus Christ. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see the astonishing. I want to see the supernatural becoming routine in my life. And I want to see the supernatural becoming routine in your life as well. To do that, we have to eliminate the doubts and speak His word in faith. We have to have that anticipation, that expectancy for the wondrous works of Jesus Christ to be manifested here in this life, in our lives, in your lives, so that you see it and the people around you see it as well. Now, the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the example that we had from Thomas. Thomas was the one who doubted. And we also saw that Jesus demonstrated His resurrection power by appearing to the disciples. He demonstrated that resurrection power by appearing to the disciples. But if you remember, Thomas was not with them. And Thomas actually said, "I will not believe until I see proof." And we read that in these two verses. This is John chapter 20, verses 24 through 25. And these are verses that should be familiar to us now after 3 weeks of reading these verses. John chapter 20, verses 24 and 25. "But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples were saying to him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see in his hands the imprints of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" And we saw 2 weeks ago that if you read that verse in the Amplified Bible, it actually says Thomas is saying, "I will never believe." So at the very moment of the greatest supernatural event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, at that moment, the obstacle of doubt arises. And we've seen that obstacle reflected or illustrated through Thomas. And we also saw from these verses, we see that those verses tell us that Thomas has a second name, Didymus. And we saw that Didymus means the twin. Thomas represents for us the twin elements that are always at work within us. Because we have the very Spirit of God Himself dwelling in us. We have that Spirit of God Himself that ties us directly and always directly to the throne room of God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling within us. But we also have this flesh that we live in. And this flesh is what ties us to this natural world. And the natural world gives us a message that is contrary to the good news of Jesus Christ. The natural world tells us to doubt. The natural world tells us to have that attitude of doubt. It's what we saw 2 weeks ago from that young man that appeared so brilliant, and he was. But he had been disappointed, as all of us have been disappointed at some point in our lives. And in that disappointment, that young man, that brilliant young man, made the mistake of choosing the message that he called, that he shared, the message was called the gospel of doubt. It is a sham gospel that the world gives us. We live not in doubt. Doubt surrounds us all the time, and doubt is always going to be presented to us. But we live in the good news of Jesus Christ. We live in the gospel. We live in the promises of Jesus Christ. We live in every good thing because we are blessed in Jesus. We live in every good thing that Jesus has for us. So we saw 2 weeks ago, the last 2 weeks, we saw all about Thomas's doubt. Let's start off this morning by looking at Jesus' response to Thomas's doubt. So we find this, we're still in John chapter 20. But we're going to look at verses 26 through 29. John chapter 20. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." 8 days later, those verses start off with the phrase, 8 days later. 8 days later, Thomas, who had not been with them before, comes with the disciples back to the house once again. Thomas comes back with them, but something significant has taken place. Something significant has happened 8 days before Thomas rejoined them. And recall that Jesus had appeared to the other 10 disciples on that same day of his resurrection. We read that if we go back to verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. So going back to his day of his resurrection, Thomas is not there. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, the disciples assembled for the fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood in the midst, and he said to them, "Peace be to you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Boy, there's so much that's here. As he has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When we see there that Jesus says, "Peace to you," and notice that he said it twice. When he says, "Peace to you," in the Greek, that word peace means Messiah's peace. It quite literally means the way that leads to peace or the way that leads to salvation. When Jesus said peace to you to the disciples, he's quite literally speaking salvation to them. And then he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now we know that the power of the Holy Spirit is not going to come in full force into man for a number of weeks yet until the day of Pentecost. But for the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit, for them to receive the Holy Spirit, that means that they are the first new creations in Jesus. They are the first ones to be redeemed. They are the first ones to walk in and experience the salvation of Jesus Christ. They're the ones who walked into that. They are alive in Jesus. Jesus has breathed new life into them. And I love that picture because when you see that it says, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," it is the exact picture that we see at the very beginning with God and Adam at creation. Listen to the similarities of that verse in this verse. This is Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. I'm going to show you this from the Amplified Bible. "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being." The fact that the Holy Spirit is at this moment, when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," the fact that the Holy Spirit is in them indicates that they are no longer, their spirits which had been dead in sin are now alive in Christ. These disciples are saved. But Thomas was not. because Thomas hadn't been with them 8 days earlier when that took place. Thomas is still living under the law. Thomas is still under the old covenant. Now, the fact that it says 8 days later, Jesus appeared to them, that's also significant. 8 days later. Because according to the old covenant, 8 days after a boy was born, he was to be presented to God with circumcision as a sign of the covenant. So now here we see, 8 days after the resurrection of Jesus and the new life in Jesus, now we see Thomas, 8 days later, Thomas accepting the new covenant in Jesus' blood. The one who doubted now believes. The one who doubted now believes and receives. You and I live every day of our lives in the new covenant, in His blood. As Thomas was able, now listen to this, as Thomas was able to overcome his doubts by the power of the Holy Spirit, so then can you and I move past and overcome all of the doubts in our lives, whatever they may be. We can move past them. They do not hinder us. In the power of the Holy Spirit, we can move past all of those doubts and receive the promises of Jesus Christ and receive the impossible. Those things which appear to be impossible, but which we're believing for because the Word tells us that it's our promises. Whatever the doubts are, if there's things that you've doubted because you haven't seen it come to pass in days or weeks, even if it's been years, we have the same power of the Holy Spirit. Just as Thomas was able to overcome them, we can overcome those doubts as well and walk into every good thing. And again, I'm the first one that will tell you over and over again, rarely is there a week on the prayer closet that I'm not saying things along the lines of encouraging people to receive, to walk into the supernatural, and to receive those things which appear to be impossible. I want us to receive everything that is impossible, but I also want to remind us that we do this. It is His love that has given us all of these promises. But we never forget, we always remember and never forget is to His glory. We walk into it, but it is always to glorify the name of Jesus. We have it through His love, but it's to glorify, always to glorify the name of Jesus. We always bring glory to Him. So Jesus appears to the disciples and He appears to Thomas. These are the words that He says to Thomas. We see this in John chapter 20, just moving down a few verses to verse number 27. I'm going to show this to you in the Amplified Bible because I love the verbiage of the Amplified on this verse. In fact, you'll see this morning I use the Amplified a lot. Then he said to Thomas, reach out your finger here and see my hands and put your hand in the place, it in my side. Do not be faithless and incredulous and stop your unbelief and believe. Jesus says something to Thomas here that is interesting to our ears. Because Jesus says to Thomas, do not be faithless. In our church vernacular, if it was us, we would say to Thomas, Thomas, have faith. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, Thomas, do not be faithless. That's an important difference in understanding because that's showing us that Thomas has a choice to make in the outcome. There's a choice that Thomas gets to make. Faithlessness is an active choice. We can either choose to believe or we make the choice to yield to the doubts that show themselves all the time. Faithlessness is an active choice that we do not have to make. We can stand in the promises of Jesus Christ. Jesus also said to Thomas, don't be incredulous. In other words, Thomas, lose the bad attitude of doubt that is leading you to say, I will not believe. Every single one of us in our lives have experienced disappointments. I mean, every one of us have seen disappointments, just like Thomas did. Thomas was disappointed because he believed that Jesus was He didn't fully understand it, but he believed Jesus was the Messiah. And he could not reconcile himself to seeing Jesus die and be put into a tomb dead. He was disappointed. He didn't understand. He was disappointed. There's many times in our lives that we're disappointed, just like Thomas. We can't see. We haven't seen the end yet. You'll know when the end of the matter is. One of my favorite verses is Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. The end of the matter is better than the beginning. Because it's at the end of the matter, that's when you see all the victories. You have to get to the end of the matter. You know, sometimes that walk might take days, weeks, months. It might take a year. And it's going to seem just as hopeless if your matter is 365 days. If you're in day 364, it's going to appear just as hopeless as it did on day one. And if Satan can get you to throw in the towel and say, I give up, I don't believe it doesn't work. If he can get you to do that at day 364, that's a great victory for him. Because you gave up just before you saw. Because the end of the matter, that's where all the blessings are. All the good things are when we walk through it in Jesus Christ and we get to the end of the matter. One of the first things that I remember my pastor teaching me is he said, Todd, at the end, when you go through something, the blessings are always equal to the trial. It was the first time, about a month later, it was the first time I ever corrected my pastor. And I said, Pastor, you know what? This is what I've seen. God's a God of abundance. And I've lived this time and time again in my life. When we walk through something with Jesus, the blessings at the end of the matter, if you will walk through to the end, the blessings at the end always surpass. They're greater than any of the trials, heartaches, hurts, and disappointment. If you will go through to the end, because it's at the end of the matter, that's when all the blessings are. We have to go through to the end of the matter. See it through to the very end, because that's where the blessings are. Don't quit along the way. If you've been disappointed in life, if you've been disappointed because you stood on the word and you didn't see it come to pass, look, it just means you're not done yet. You'll know when you've arrived at the end of the matter. You'll know because you're standing in victory. No one's going to have to tell you. You will recognize this is the end of the matter, because now I stand victorious. And now you see all the blessings that far exceed any of the bad things, the trials that you went through. And I've said this time and time again in my life. And I believe this because this is what I've always experienced. Whatever you're going through, everything that I've gone through in my life that's been hard, that's been painful, that's been difficult, usually I brought it upon myself, but everything that I've gone through in my life that has been hard or difficult or painful, when it's done, if I've walked through with Jesus Christ, at the end, I always say, I am glad I went through it. I never want to go through it again, but I'm glad that I went through it, because it's in those times, that's when you see the personality, the nature, the character of who Jesus is. That's when the real growth takes place. And you always wind up in a much better place. You wind up stronger, you wind up victorious, and the blessings always exceed the trials. Keep walking till you see the end. See, we get disappointed just like Thomas was. And in that disappointment, we tend to get frustrated. And our frustration then leads us to incorrectly surmise that the word is not working. And when we incorrectly surmise that the word is not working, that hinders our faith. And that's when we wind up, as we saw last week, that's when we wind up where doubt chains us to Satan's doghouse. That's where you wind up tied up in Satan's backyard. And if you don't understand that illustration, go back and listen to last week's message, because you'll get a spiritual life lesson from Sox the German Shepherd. I learned a lesson when I was like 8 years old that I've never forgotten. Jesus also says, stop your unbelief and believe. If Jesus says there's a choice, then it's a choice. He's not going to tell you to do something that he hasn't already empowered you to do. Stop your unbelief and belief. It is our choice. Our choice in all things. Believe for the impossible. Believe the promises of Jesus Christ and believe for the impossible, the supernatural in your life. Believe for those things. And believe it when you pray for someone else as well. Let them look in your eyes and see that you believe the impossible is going to take place in their life, because you're standing on the word and you're speaking the word in faith. Thomas, Didymus, the twin. He represents to us the choice that we have every day of our lives. The choice to either believe all of the full promises of the Word of God or to believe the deception of the flesh, which only gives us a message of doubt. Now, there's another place in the Bible that talks to us about twins. I spent 2 weeks talking about twins. There's another place that's relevant to our conversation today. Remember that Isaac had twin sons, Jacob and Esau. Now, God spoke to Jacob and Esau's mother, Rebekah. And God told Rebekah that Jacob would rule over his brother, Esau. If I get the names wrong, I do this sometimes when I'm talking fast. Just hold up your hand, I'll correct it. So, God spoke to Rebekah and said that Jacob would rule over his brother, Esau, that he would be the one that rules. This is the promise that he had given to her. At the moment of deception, forget for the moment the deception of Jacob, because that's where we always wind up going. We think about his deception. Forget that for a moment. What I want us to think about, what I want us to hear, is the blessing that is spoken over Jacob, the blessing that is spoken over the one who rules over the other. Remember that. Jacob rules over his brother. This is the blessing for the one who rules over his twin. And remember, I've tried to share with us that duality that takes place. There's the twin elements of who we are. This is the blessing for the one who rules over his brother. We read this in Genesis chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. Again, there are so many places, even as I'm sharing this, I think we could go off on too. This is why I love the Word. There's always fresh revelation. So many times I'll be starting, I know that Al's always listening during the prayer closet. There's so many times I go into the prayer closet, I do it Monday through Friday, and I'll go in there, I have a message in my mind that I want to do, I know the verses I want to go to, I'll read the first verse, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shows me something different, and it will take me 3 days until I ever actually get to the message that I brought for Monday. It's usually towards the end of the week, if I ever even get there. The Word always has. This is the expectation we should have every time we open up the Word of God. We should be expecting the Holy Spirit's going to show us something new. So then if we've planned to share one thing with somebody, as you read it again, be open to the Holy Spirit to hear what He has, because He will always show us something new. Okay, that was a sidebar. So here is the blessing that was spoken over Jacob. Genesis 27, verses 28 and 29. Therefore, may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed is everyone who curses you, blessed is he who blesses you. Jacob is the twin that rules over his brother. Jacob is the twin that rules. When we choose to say and to speak the Word of God, we get the promises of Jesus Christ. Because as believers in Jesus Christ, we are blessed. We're not cursed. We're blessed in everything that we do. We are blessed. So this blessing that was spoken over Jacob, this is our blessing as we operate in faith and an expectancy every day. We have the dew of heaven. The dew of heaven is referring to those things of the spiritual realm. In other words, quite simply, you as a believer in Jesus Christ, because you are blessed in Jesus, you get the best of heaven. You get the best of heaven because Jesus Christ already provided the victory for us, and He's established everything that you need for your life is already, whatever miracles, whatever it is that you need, it's already established for you, established. It's there in the spiritual realm, waiting for us to bring it from the spiritual realm into this natural realm. Whatever you need is already established for you. And as we've seen many times already throughout the years, according to Romans chapter 8, you and I as believers, we are joint heirs. We just sang it in that one song. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ in every one of His victories. Is there any area that victory, any area that Jesus doesn't have victory over? He has victory over everything. And you are a joint heir with Him in every one of those things. These are the things that are promised to us. This is the blessing that is ours as we operate in faith and expectancy. And Jacob's blessing, it also gives us a sense of refreshing every single day. Because dew is new every single day. Dew brings with it. This is what's promised. This is part of the blessing for us. We have the dew of heaven. We have the daily opportunity to master the faith of Jesus Christ, His faith which is invested in us. We have the daily opportunity, the daily freshness to operate and master His faith in us to make the doubts of this world bow down to our expressions, our words of faith. This is how we should be living our daily lives. This is part of the blessing that is spoken over you. Because the blessing that we see of Jacob and the blessing that we'll see on Esau in a few moments, these are precursors. These are to show you. We see in that old covenant what is the promises for you and I. So as we go a little bit further into that verse, the next thing that we see, it tells us about the blessing of the fatness of the land. When we speak His word in faith, the established promises of Jesus Christ that are already done in the spiritual realm are manifested in this life, in this natural world. Again, when we stand in faith and we speak words of faith, when we speak those words of faith, all of that is already done, those truths that are realities in the spiritual realm displace these natural realm realities that are opposed to the promises of Jesus Christ. Make sense? To be precise, choose every day, you choose every day to rule over the doubts of this world from your position of authority in Jesus Christ. Because you as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are blessed and not cursed. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the best of heaven and you have the best of earth. That's what that blessing said. You've got the best of heaven and the best of earth. That is your promise. That's what you should be holding on to. That's what you continue to stand for until you see that realized in your life. This is the promise. This is the blessing that comes to you and I. This is the blessing that is for us. If you didn't see that to be true yesterday, if you're believing for something and you didn't see it to be true, don't worry. Today's a brand new day. Today brings with it brand new dew from heaven, brand new dew so that you, as the one who is blessed in Jesus Christ, can have those promises, those blessings, the best of heaven and the best of earth. So let's draw that point out a little bit further. We know as we go through the story of Jacob and Esau, after Jacob receives his blessing from his father Isaac, we see that Esau comes. And Esau asks his father Isaac for a blessing as well. Here's the words that Isaac speaks over Esau. This is Genesis 27. We're going to drop down to verses 39 through 40. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, this is Esau, "Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother, and it shall come to pass, when you become restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." When we allow, just think about this for a second, when we allow the doubts of this world to rule us, we become the twin of Esau. That's the twin that we become. Ruled and not reigning. We are supposed to be the ones that rule and reign in the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice something here. Do you notice that even though Esau, when you read through the fullness of the promises and the blessing, even though Esau doesn't have, his blessing is not as good by any means as Jacob's. But did you notice that the promises are still the same for him? He still gets the best of heaven and the best of earth. Why? Because again, this is a shadow. It is a foreshadow. It's telling us what's true for you and I today in believers of Jesus Christ. As believers in Jesus Christ, we walk every day as the blessed in Jesus. We are blessed in Him. Today's a brand new day. I don't care what happened yesterday. Today's a brand, I don't care if you've been disappointed for a year. Today's a brand new day. And so we're instructed because we have the blessings, even if you've allowed the doubts to rule our lives. Today's a brand new day. So apply the sword, as was told to Esau. Apply the word of God and break the yoke of doubt, break the yoke of uncertainty that this world continues to feed us, so that we live our lives every day as the ruling and reigning twin in Jesus. So that we live our lives every day as those who are walking in the best of heaven and the best of earth. Yeah, you guys should be more excited than that. This is the best of heaven and the best of earth. This is what's for us. So whatever you're experiencing that doesn't line up with that, you've got more that's waiting for you. And Jesus wants you to walk into the fullness of it. Why? Because He loves you and He paid a high price for it. But it also brings glory to His name. And people see that, and they're drawn to Jesus. Okay, so there is still a gospel of doubt. That's how we started this 2 weeks ago. The gospel of doubt, the world's gospel of doubt. There is still a gospel of doubt that is propagated in this world today. But it is the sham gospel of the world. It is a message of doubt. And it's answered by our speaking and living our lives in the good news, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, and all of His promises. That answers it. Look at how the exchange between Jesus and Thomas concludes in John chapter 20. Look at this in verse number 30. Before we get to that verse, what we don't see before that is Thomas already acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and God. And then Jesus says to Thomas, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." And then we see this marvelous conclusion in verse number 30. "There are also many other signs and miracles." We should always be expecting more signs and miracles. There's many things. It says there are many other signs and miracles which Jesus performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. We don't even get the listing. We don't even get the beginning of all the signs and the wonders and the miracles and the supernatural things that Jesus did. But the conclusion of that story that we've been looking at with Thomas, the story concludes with evidence of the multiplied miracles, wonders, supernatural signs that were continually seen by the disciples, the things that Jesus performed that were the impossible in the world. But remember, also in John, if you go back to the 14th chapter, John also told us that we would do even greater things than He did in this life because He goes to His Father. So now, today, all of the multiplied, numerous, and continual supernatural miracles, signs and wonders, those things are performed through us as we believe and as we speak the word in faith and as we have eliminated those doubts from our mind and from our thoughts. And we eliminate those doubts. Look, you can make this something really difficult. It's not. This is how you eliminate the doubts from your life. It's quite simple. First of all, praise the Lord. You start praising the Lord, it is impossible for doubts to rule over you. You start thanking Him for the things that you haven't even seen yet. You start praising Him in abundance before you see the miracles. Doubts cannot exist in that atmosphere. Here's the other thing. Very simple. Just spend time in the Word. The more time that you spend in the Word, the more you have a growing sense of expectancy. And where there's a lot of expectancy, guess what happens to the doubts? When the expectancies are raised, the doubts are eliminated and lowered. We are supposed to believe, speak the Word of God, and eliminate the doubts, and we see all those multiplied supernatural things take place in our lives. You see, in our country, in our culture, we don't see and we don't experience enough of those things because We don't have to. Because we can usually just get by in life as it is. That's the way our culture is. How many of you guys have ever been on a mission trip? So those of you that raise your hands, you've probably seen things that are a whole lot different than in our country. And it's when you're there. I was in Romania. I was in Hungary. I was in Romania. I was in Uruguay. I saw a lot of people that had a lot of needs. I saw a lot of things. I saw people who would believe for the impossible because they had no other choice. And they see those things. There is multiplied, supernatural, miraculous things that should be exemplified through each one of our lives. As we leave here, this should be our expectation. Believe it, first of all, for your lives, and as you get that growing sense of expectancy, believe it also for the lives of the people that they're out there that God brings across your path to pray for. Because there's not one of us is going to go through the week that someone doesn't. My guess is there's not going to be a day that you are not summoned. God has a daily summons for you. He's going to bring someone across your path to share the word of God, to give a word of hope, to pray over, to do something that the Holy Spirit leads you to do because the Holy Spirit knows exactly what that person needs. And if we have an elevated sense of expectancy and we've eliminated those doubts, what's going to happen to that person when they look in your eyes and they hear your prayers and they see your faith and they see the supernatural take place in their lives? This is what draws them towards Jesus Christ. So we began this journey 2 weeks ago by focusing on the significance of Thomas having a second name, Didymus, which means the twin. I want to end this week, I want to end the message not looking at the duality of our beings, but rather with the understanding of who we are in Jesus Christ and knowing that we are overcomers in Jesus Christ in this life. I want to tell you that, yes, today you still have a second name. You have a second name. Thomas was Thomas and Didymus. You have a second name. But instead of a name that represents our duality, we have a name that represents our oneness in Jesus. Listen to this promise that is for us. I love this. This is Revelation chapter 2, verse number 17. You're going to see it in the Amplified Bible. He was able to hear, that's you and I, he was able to hear, let him listen to and hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies of the churches. To he who overcomes and conquers, seeing the supernatural take place, seeing the impossible. To he who overcomes and conquers, I will give to eat the manna that is hidden. I will, when we overcome in Jesus Christ, we overcome the doubts, the fears, we walk in faith, we live in Jesus Christ. You, this is you and I. We are the overcomers in Jesus Christ. But here's the part I want you to see. I will give him a white stone with a new name engraved on the stone, which no one knows or understands except he who receives it. As we listen to the Holy Spirit in this life, instead of listening to the things of the world, we walk as overcomers. We walk as supernatural conquerors in Jesus Christ. And then at one day we're going to leave this life and go home victoriously. And Jesus himself has a name that he personally has chosen for you. It's a name that reflects your oneness in him. I want my life to be demonstrations of the supernatural. I want my life to be demonstrations of that oneness, that name that right now only he knows, that name that reflects my oneness with him. I want to see that oneness with him exemplified as people see the supernatural, as they see that which is impossible in the world, as they see the promises of Jesus Christ manifested in this life. And I want to be able to walk at some day for each one of us, way off in the future for each one of us, when we hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant, and I hear him and you hear him say that name, your second name, the name that he has chosen for you, that reflects not your duality, but it reflects your oneness in him. This is how we address, and this is how we answer the gospel of doubt in this world. We answer it by living and exemplifying these promises. We are the blessed in Jesus Christ. We walk in the best of heaven and the best of earth. And as people see that, and they see that we experience it, and they experience it by our prayers of faith for them. It suppresses the doubts of this world. This is how we answer the gospel of doubt from the world. We answer it with the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the promises for us. Amen? You guys receive that? Let's stand up and praise Him as we conclude this morning.